We are.
Live from your grave.
Why don't you go ahead and count Omar in again, because he fucked up the Queen song. He meant to sing one song. And he started singing another. He meant to sing We Are the Champions. But instead was playing the drum beat from We Will Rock You.
Yep. That was probably the best intro we've ever had.
Oh my, yes.
Let's go to the World Series. What's up, Ryan Adams?
Hey, Omar De Armas.
How you been, huh?
I'm doing. Yeah, yep. I probably deserve that. Maybe a little bit. You know, it takes a big man to admit when his team gets beat in the playoffs by a better New York baseball team. So hats off to the New York Mets. But still, a big fuck you to Omar De Armas for being a little bitch.
We've been a little bitch. It has been since the year 2000 since we have been in the World Series.
Yeah, well, I've been a longer...
1986 since they've won a World Series.
Yeah, yeah. It's been... Dodgers haven't been back in the World Series since 1988, so there's that.
Yeah, Omar. There's that. You know why? Because the Dodgers suck. How's that $300-plus million payroll
doing? Last time I checked... This was a podcast for video games and comic books, not sports, Omar.
$300-plus million.
No, go ahead. I'm okay.
$300-plus. Highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah.
How's that doing? How's that doing over there in L.A. town? In Chavez Ravine.
You know what? I was being nice, Omar. I said I wasn't going to root against the Mets, but you know what? Fuck the Mets. Let's go, Royals. Let's beat the shit out of these. What? The sister team of the New York Yankees?
The sister team? New York baseball.
Well, everyone knows that if you're going to talk about New York baseball, you talk about the New York Yankees. And then everyone's like, who the fuck are the Mets? Like, you ask anyone who doesn't watch baseball. Yeah, they go, the Metropolitans.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Come on, you all meet the Mets.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that what's his name? Murphy is on steroids. And it's going to come out and the world's going to be like, you know what? Fuck the Mets.
You know what? He deserves it. That's what the world's going to say. They deserve it. They had it coming.
Well, Omar, I'm very happy for you and your
New York
Mets. You're
not going to be saying that next year when Murphy is on the Dodgers.
He's not coming to L.A. We don't want him. We don't want him.
People who have enough money to pay for people.
We don't want people on steroids, Omar. Okay, we play clean, traditional baseball, okay? We play Dodger baseball, okay? The Dodger way. So get out of town.
Oh, man.
You got it out of your system? You ready to talk about like what we're actually here for? Dude, what our fans pay good money to listen to?
Since last we spoke, game 5 of the NLDS, then a sweep of the National League Championship Series.
Yes, yes. They played a Cubs team that seemed very anemic.
Yep. You know why?
Did not show up.
Mets pitching. Mets pitching, sir.
You know what? They were distracted by all those hippies pitching for them.
All them long hairs.
See, that's the only reason why I hate the Mets. The Mets have a bunch of pot-smoking long hairs sitting there. They're all probably all juiced up too, probably doctoring the balls. You know who I really hate on the Mets?
Underinflated baseballs.
That one little bitch. What's his name? David Price? Oh, my God. Talk about a fucking baby. That guy sucks. The captain. What's his name? David Price, right?
No. David Wright.
David Wright. David Wright. See, I hate that guy so much I don't even want to know his name.
The captain. Come on.
Yeah. Captain Asshole, if you ask me. Guy's so whiny. He's such a whiny fucking dude. It's like, retire already. You're not going to get a championship, buddy. Royals are going to take it from you. Sorry.
Spinal stenosis that guy came back from this year.
Not this year, Mets. Not this year, Mets. Hey, everybody. Welcome to your favorite podcast for all things video games and comic books, Indestructible Art. Episode 203.
Feels good right now. Going in tomorrow, gonna have a good game. Feeling good. Indy just happened.
I am giving video you a games. Chance. I'm giving you a chance to introduce your other host on the show, Omar.
He's spoken already.
You guys are assholes. Usually I purely and perfectly object to and morally object to any sports talk on the show, but it's very rare that one Ryan Adams eats his hat. And Omar, go ahead and continue.
First off, I'm not eating nothing. In fact, I'm guaranteeing right now the Dodgers win a championship before the Mets, even though the Mets start in the World Series tomorrow. I guarantee it. If I'm wrong, I will come on this podcast, and I will podcast with a Mets shirt on the whole time.
I don't believe you because...
Because it's not going to happen, because the Mets are going to choke. Why? Because they're the Mets.
We're not in the same room. How would you even know if you're wearing the shirt?
First off, I'm a man of my word. Evan,
that's such an empty
Evan,
wager.
I have never lied a day in my life.
Oh, no.
Hey, I'm Ryan Adams of Supreme Excellence. That Met fan over there is Omar Dumbass De Armas. And, of course, Evan Campbell.
Hey, I'm here as well.
The sports authority. You know, it's funny because Evan tries to make it like he's not into sports, but Evan's actually one of the biggest jocks that I know.
Really?
Yeah. Evan, remember that time you played high school sports?
Yeah, I do.
I never did that.
Yeah,
so
you were on the team.
So weird.
You were on the team, I remember.
So weird.
You were not on the team.
Yeah, Ryan was on the team. Else, how could he get kicked off the team?
I did get kicked off a team I was never a part of because somebody thought I was a part of the Royal Water Polo team for some reason. I don't know how the fuck that happened. I was never part of the team.
No, you were there.
Sure.
I believe it.
Hey, do any one of you guys own a Letterman jacket?
No, Omar does.
I do not.
Oh, you don't?
No, I never got one. Too expensive.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Those things are dumb, man.
Well, here's the thing is, you guys play water polo, right? Maybe you can answer a couple questions.
Why do we always talk about this?
Because you guys are jocks, and we're talking about sports now, Evan. Because you wanted to talk about sports, because you're such a huge New York Mets fan all of a sudden, asshole.
Go Mets.
So if you guys play water polo, why would you even need a Leatherman's jacket, right? Don't you get like a... I mean, because you were...
Parka?
Like a scuba suit?
I was thinking like a Letterman Speedo.
Like they make those.
Do they?
Yeah.
No what? Shit.
I'm sure they have Speedos with a letter on them.
Yeah, but not
was
the
it?
Big one.
Was it?
One? The letter.
Not the big one.
Yeah.
Oh, one guy did have a Speedo that had the skin tone colored sides, and then where his crotch is supposed to be, there was a leaf, like Adam and Eve.
Wow.
That was a pretty good Speedo.
Wow, edgy. Edgy. Yeah. Edgy high school sports, man.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
No joke.
All right. Well, are you guys all done talking about sports?
God, Jesus, please.
Well, Evan, you seem like you're okay with it.
I'm not. I'm not okay. I'm dying inside.
Well, I got some good news for you guys. Because this is the podcast for video games and comic books. Like, the most important podcast of your life, right? We've already
determined definitely.
That, right?
Absolutely.
Right? And you guys actually had a pretty cool weekend.
Yeah.
You guys is something that you guys, I've actually gone with you 1 year.
Yeah.
We had a blast. Indiecade.
It was a lot of fun.
Indiecade.
I didn't get to go all 3 days. They have 4 days, but the first day is like a developer day.
I found that when I went to Indiecade, we were there for what, a good solid 8 hours?
Probably.
I felt that was like proper amount of time.
It can be, yeah.
Like I felt like I got to do everything. Like during that time, like play everything. Like I didn't go to any, they don't have conferences, do they?
Yeah, they do. They have panels.
Oh, okay. So yeah. that's probably what I miss. It's kind of like when I go to a Comic-Con, like I may go to like one or two panels, but mostly I'm there to go check out like Artist Alley, go meet like the talent, see what's going on.
But like, yeah,
but you guys, sure. But Omar, you were there. How long were you at Indiecade for?
We were there. I was there probably like 8 hours both days, Saturday and Sunday. Good long time spending. Hanging out with people, talking about games, watching people play stuff, playing some stuff. Good
and
exciting Indiecade.
And you guys were there as members of the press, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Representing Indiswept Art, number one name in podcasts for video games and comic books, right?
That's right, sir.
Was it weird with having the celebrity status there at the Indiecade?
No, I think, to be honest, they pretty much let everybody in there.
But the fact that you guys were there representing Indestructible Art must have been pretty cool.
Well, you know, we live and die Indestructible Art, so every day is pretty cool.
But I'm just saying, you were at Indiecade, you were beating fans off with sticks.
Oh, yes. People recognize Omar left and right.
Like Omar started talking, they're like, hey, that's the boring guy in that one podcast.
Ho-ho! Let's go.
Zing!
In any case, Indiecade was super rad. I went to like four or five different panels for different things that were fun. or just like interesting conversations. One was something about sexuality in games, or to be more specific, I guess like more like sensuality in games. Like they had these three different game makers who kind of specialize in games that kind of focus around sexy stuff. One of the panelists was Nina Freeman, who made that game How Do You Do It, and it's about a little girl who plays with naked Barbie dolls when her mom goes away to like try to figure out how grown-ups have sex. It's like a super super interesting kind of like exploratory game. And then there's another guy there who specializes in making like I think homoerotic is kind of the wrong word, but they're games that focus around gay sex. So like there's one he has where you kind of like help a guy eat a corn dog, I think, and in the meantime it's like a crazy like super hyper sexualized dance video where there's like these super muscly dudes kind of like dancing in the background while you're like trying to help this guy eat a corn dog. And then
what in the fuck is going on at Indiecade?
No man, it's crazy. Like there's a bunch of bizarre stuff. And then there was another game, or the other panelist.
How come I'm just hearing about this game for the first time?
He makes a whole bunch of games, actually. He's a professor, I think, at NYU or something. And one of his other games was like one where you drive a car and you stimulate the car. The stick, it's a manual car, so you have to stimulate the stick shift as you're driving. And when you win the game, both the driver and the car reach climax. And I think you get like pulled over. And he said like the game is basically about driving around and being gay. But yeah, just like super weird, crazy stuff, and hearing about like why people made these things and what inspires them to kind of like explore these different topics. Like, you know, everybody always has suspicions about Marcus Fenix and Dom, but you know, Gears of War never explores that avenue of their relationship,
right? I actually have never thought about that. I just thought they were two macho men that were in a tough situation.
Yeah.
Just trying to survive day by day, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Indiecade definitely gives you a different way to kind of like look at games and look at why they're around. Omar and I went to a panel about games criticism. Kind of like, it was supposed to be about the state of games crit. I don't think they really talked about that really as much. That. Yeah. I think part of it is, I mean, we've been going to Indiecade for a long time. And after that panel and kind of after the day, I was thinking about maybe some of this stuff is getting to be a little bit navel-gazy in the wrong way and in which they kind of set out to do. It's still super good and super positive that they're doing these things. But I think if the like certain panels are kind of curated, not necessarily carelessly, but kind of in the wrong direction, it definitely doesn't get the point across, especially because a lot of the people who are there also kind of know all these things, and they kind of know all these people. So it's like preaching to the choir in a lot of ways. So they skip over a lot of things that might be interesting to people like us, I suppose, where it's just kind of like breaking down these concepts. Like leaving that panel, I don't really know what games criticism is really trying to achieve. Like I know, sort of, in a lot of ways, like exploring games in interesting ways and being critical of them to kind of help make the medium better. Like I understand that as a broad understanding, but what is the community of games critics doing to push that? Like what's the most interesting stuff? And you know, from the outside, I'd say like addressing trans topics in games, I think is kind of pretty big right now. I know that's even hit the music scene a little bit. I was talking with my brother about a band called Gloss, and there's a band called Were. So I guess like Gloss is like a transsexual band entirely, and then this band called Were was like giving them a lot of shit, and it kind of blew up in the music scene. I was like, oh man, we have the same exact problems in the game industry where these developers who are either gay or women or transsexual are like having all these problems with just like the mass amounts of I would say ignorant people who just give them loads of shit and stalk them and harass them on social media platforms like Twitter. And they didn't really talk about any of that at all on the panel because I think all these people kind of live it, you know, and they're maybe kind of like had it up to their ears, and it's a complicated issue. Like how do you deal with all of these crazy man children? I don't know. There's so much to unpack about Indiecade and the panels there. I saw at least two more, but they kind of escaped me at the moment. I kind of want to talk to Omar about what he played, because I spent most of my time going to panels. That's my favorite thing. And Omar, you actually got to like hang out in the firehouse for longer than like 30 or 40 minutes, which is about all I had.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to at least watch all the things in there, because
yeah,
that's typically where all the like finalists are, right?
Sure.
Things that are going to get or that are up for awards or doing stuff that is more interesting than like a standard release fare. So I walked around in there and there was a bunch of VR things that I tried a couple of them. I didn't want to do too many of them because not a whole lot of people were like properly hygienically cleaning all of the stuff before other people were putting it on. So it kind of weirded me out.
Nah, dog, that's indie as fuck. Nah, don't care about your eyes.
Yeah, pink eye, super indie. Let's
get that poo-poo gunk in there, man. It's good for you. It improves your indie tolerance, I think. Like, your immune system.
Thank you.
It makes you appreciate games that much more.
I got to play a game called Line Wobbler, which is a dude that took it is a one-dimensional dungeon crawler. So he took a strip of LEDs.
Yes.
Puts them straight up into the air.
How tall?
Pretty tall. I don't know the exact dimensions, but like more than a story tall, I think.
Okay. So you're guessing like 20 feet, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. It was real tall. You had to like really look up. You had to really crane your neck to see the top.
Okay.
And then you have a door stopper. You know the little like springy door stoppers that you see like cats playing with all the time?
Sure.
And that was your input method. So you had that thing and it had an accelerometer at the tip of it. And that's how you move forward. You like swatted at it to make it do the attacks and stuff. It was really good. A really clever thing. And it was like super intuitive to pick up and play. And it had really like cool, interesting mechanics. And it was all in one strip of LEDs. All of this was happening.
How would you determine what you have to do? Like, how do you determine how hard to flick the door stopper thing?
It just happens, man. It's like little babies and touchscreens. It just happens. You just Weird. Know how to do it.
That thing definitely sounded cool when I walked by it. It was making all kinds of cool noises. And then the light was rad. When it would explode, and you would expect like one dimension not to be that entertaining, but then all these little lights come out of like the area where it explodes, and it just looked rad.
Yeah, it was really... See, like, it's like super simple, but it's like endlessly entertaining to watch people play because it was just like so well done with the most minimal of things, you know?
Yeah.
I played a game called Scale. Have you heard of Scale?
Yes, yeah.
I think that's on Kickstarter or was on Kickstarter.
That's an Ashley Birch is in that, isn't she?
I don't know.
I think she does VO, like narration.
I didn't really hear any VO. I just you have like a what looks like a super soaker on steroids, and you shoot things and they grow or get shrunk, grow mm-hmm. or shrink.
Yeah.
And that's how you solve puzzles and get around the world.
Seems like a fun mechanic.
Yeah. I played a game that lets you use your brain waves to control the game, or it wasn't really control the game. It was a first-person shooter style game, but you used your brain waves. You had this thing strapped to your head to fill up your like magic meters. That was interesting.
Oh yeah, throw a truck with your mind.
Yeah, throw a truck with your mind.
Yeah, I played that.
Which was a little bit deceiving because you're not really throwing it with your mind. You're just like charging it by paying attention to what's happening on the screen.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a bunch of interesting things. It was really cool. I played some stuff in the Sony area. Sony, you know, Sony sponsors Indiecade almost every year now.
Mm-hmm.
Played some stuff there. I played some stuff with Nintendo. But Nintendo stuff, none of it was all that interesting.
It seemed like they had some same games from last time. Yeah. And also their booth was like half the size.
Yeah, they were like barely a presence this time. When last year they seemed like a way more into it.
What's going on with that? Well, they're a little busy right now. It's a little thing called the NX, guys. Come on.
Yeah, we talked about it last week a little bit.
I know. I listened. I was mad.
Why are you mad?
Because I wasn't on the show. I get angry when I'm not on the show.
What's the NX to you, Ryan? Not to get completely off the topic.
The NX to me is...
Yeah, what do you think it's going to be, I guess?
The game changer, guys.
No.
The game changer.
I thought you broke up with Nintendo.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just... We have a bond that transcends time and space.
I feel you.
Somebody asked me the other day. Yeah, that's the thing is, I just realized this the other day. I was talking to a buddy of mine. I have bought a Nintendo console every single Nintendo console going back to as far back as I can remember, day of launch.
Holy moly!
Right, I bought the Wii U at launch.
How did that pay off for you?
I love my Wii U. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I realize now too, the Wii U is the only Nintendo system I have not owned.
Oh, really?
Yep, I've owned every single Nintendo system before that.
Dude, that's crazy.
Like every Game Boy that existed, I owned.
Yeah, no, I have two, I guess. Oh, weird.
I had Game Boy Micro, I had the whole game.
I didn't have that one.
I never got the Micro, but I wanted one. But at that time, I was like, nah, I'm cool with this, you know.
It seems super cool in concept, but in reality, it turned out to be not such a great idea.
Oh, no, huh? It was terrible. It was fucking terrible. But it was a thing that fit, you know, it fit in your pocket.
Yes. Anyways, we went to IndieCade, and that was rad. It was fun. It's a good thing.
Did you guys get dinner afterwards?
We did get lunch.
I ate lunch twice at Native Foods. Twice.
Oh, yeah, as did I. I think I ate the day that you weren't there. On Friday, I had a scorpion burger.
Oh, yes.
Which was pretty good. And then the day after, I had a bacon avocado burger.
Did any of you get the Oklahoma?
No. I've sworn off the Oklahoma, Ryan.
Why have you sworn off? Wait, what'd you call it?
I've sworn off the Oklahoma.
I thought you said Oklahoma.
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 Where why did you swear
to explode?
Why did you swear off the Oklahoma?
Because the like Omar's song suggests it is an endeavor, and you cannot do very much video games reporting after you eat an Oklahoma.
You need to go home and sit for a little while, let it all ferment, and then you need
weaklings.
To evacuate.
You Listen, weaklings.
Man, as somebody who's eaten 1.5 Oklahomas in his day in one sitting, I think I earned a break.
I had the Oklahoma, and this is the old Native Foods before they went completely corporate. You know, they're kind of corporate now. I had the Oklahoma burger with the Philly cheesesteak, chicken tenders, chili cheese fries, and nachos. All in one sitting with your brother. Your brother consumed the other half. We got tattoos and went and got lunch.
You got Oklahoma burger tattoos?
Yes, we did. Well, I'm stoked that you guys went to IndieCade. You know, one of my what memory I like to look back on is that time we all went to IndieCade together. And then I kind of ditched you guys for a little bit and met the creators of Journey and got them to sign my book.
That's cool, man.
Put a little picture in there for me, too.
I saw Genova Chen, I think.
Oh, how was Genova? How was it doing?
I saw him walking. I didn't I didn't go up to him, but I'm pretty sure I saw him walking.
Wow. You did not engage.
I did not.
Well, actually,
he looked super serene, so I let him be.
Yeah. Well, I let him know you guys were coming. I said, hey, go make sure, Genova, that you avoid these two dorks that might come and hassle you.
Go completely the opposite direction.
Yeah. So, look, as great as IndieCade is, guys, and I think IndieCade is great for all those little guys out there, all the little developers with their games about chili dogs and muscle men and getting cars off.
Dude, that game is sick.
I think it's great that IndieCade exists, but at the end of the day, guys, really, who plays indie games, right? Why even talk about indie games?
Your favorite game is an indie game. Your favorite game in the last 10 years is an indie game.
Metroid Prime?
Metroid Prime, I think, was more than 10 years ago at this point.
It's my favorite game of all time, Evan. It's not an indie game.
How does it stack up against Ori in the Blind Forest?
Metroid Prime?
Yeah.
Oh, Metroid Prime is number one of all time. But Ori's in the conversation, though.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, we could talk about indie games and chili dogs and games that you stroke off like door things. But at the end of the day, guys, Halo fucking 5 comes out this week.
Oh, I'm ready.
I think it's out like right now.
It's out we're recording the show on a Monday, which is kind of weird for us because we usually do it on the weekend. But because these guys are on assignment, we did the show on Monday night, the Monday before Halo 5's release.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is when I come home from work tomorrow, I will have a copy of Halo 5 waiting for me at my door.
Yeah.
And everything will be glorious in the world. Forget all the reviews that are coming out right now. And I've read a couple reviews already.
What would you say the landscape is of those reviews, Ryan?
I'd say a lot of folks say that the game is impressive. It does run at the full 60 frames per second.
Yes, I've heard that.
But it's not as, say, it's not maybe as, say, as impressive in scale as opposed to the other Halo games that came out before. Like, there's great level designs, but there's no, like, gotcha factor. Right?
No spectacle, you say.
Also, the fact that, you know, I've been reading these reviews, and I'm hearing 80% of the game you'll be playing as Locke, the new character. Okay. Right?
Sure. They pulled a Sons of Liberty.
Which can be a good thing or a bad thing, you know.
Or a Halo 2, I guess.
I also hear that the ending is abrupt, akin to Halo 2's ending.
All right.
Which, you know how I feel about Halo 2's ending, Evan.
You hate it, but that game is, like, one of the most talked about games.
I think Halo 2 is criminally overrated.
I thought you liked it a lot.
I like Halo 2. I like Halo. I like the whole series.
Halo.
But Halo 2, people love Halo 2 for the multiplayer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people play Halos for the multiplayer. I play it for the story, the campaign. So, you know, I kind of want an ending. I really liked Halo 4, though. I thought, 343 did a pretty good job taking over the reins from Bungie. And you know, if you're Bungie, you got to feel pretty bad. Or you got to feel pretty bad for Bungie. Because, like, they created Halo. Like, they did magical things with that.
And I then, definitely don't feel bad for Bungie.
And then they took, like, a giant step down and created this knockoff called Destiny.
That's got Led Zeppelin
songs in the commercials.
It's that's not even remotely close to the same game.
And bro, it's people rather play Call of Duty than Destiny.
I don't think that's true.
Search your feelings to know this to be true, Evan.
I haven't seen the numbers. I cannot verify, but there is a ton of people playing Destiny.
More people are playing Call of Duty, Evan. You know this, than they are Destiny.
Are they?
Oh, Evan, you.
I believe this is untrue.
You poor sweet boy. You poor sweet child.
I don't find this to be true. There's a new Call of Duty coming out. I haven't heard anything about it.
Really? Saw every single Carl's Jr. commercial. And that's how I know it's good. I'm just saying that Halo to me is it's one of my favorite franchises. I'm pretty stoked by Halo 5 coming out tomorrow. It's the first Halo game on the Xbox One. There's a lot of expectations.
Sure.
Read the Polygon review for it, which was a pretty solid review, pretty gleaming. I think they gave him a 9 or a 90, whatever their scale is.
Yeah, whatever their incomprehensible scale is.
That changes all the time?
Yes. Because it's a 9 now, but tomorrow when it comes out and the servers don't work, it'll be a 2.
Right.
And then in a week, also, when the servers kind of figure it out and people stop caring so much, it'll be a 10.
I love the IGN clickbait that goes on because they'll say, Halo review, right? And you'll click on it and be like, well, this is an ongoing review.
Yeah.
And so you want to check back every couple hours over the course of the next 3 months while we wait to give you what our thoughts are. And then I'm like, I don't give a shit what these guys at IGN think. I watch some of the IGN shows. I'm like, these guys are nerds. I don't know nothing about nothing.
Isn't that every ranting internet boy feels this way?
Yeah, but you gotta understand, Evan, I am the vox populi. I'm the voice of the people on this show. I speak for all the nerds and dorks out there. When I say that IGN sucks, but I do go there every day.
When you say first.
And if IGN offered me a job, I'd probably leave real quick. Guys, see you later. I'm working for IGN now in beautiful San Francisco, but I'm just kidding. I would never do that to our fans. I wouldn't leave them to go work at IGN. Not what we have in Indestructible Arts. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked about Halo 5. But as stoked as I am about video games, guys, comic books have been really, really good. And when I say comic books, I should say Image Comics have been really, really good.
I haven't been reading Image Comics for like a couple of months, and I'm so far behind, and I'm so sad about it.
Like,
because I really like my Image books.
No, no, no. And you should feel bad. In fact, you should feel really terrible.
No, I do.
And Omar, you should feel sorry too. I mean, you should feel sorry for lots of things, but you should really feel sorry for the fact that you're not picking up Image Comics right now. Yep. And listen, I had some news stories I was going to talk about on this, Brian Michael Bendis, everyone's favorite Marvel dude. They're giving him another Iron Man book. So we have Invincible Iron Man, and now we have International Iron Man.
Is he going to be like James Bond?
You mean is James Bond going to be like Tony Stark? Yeah. Tony Stark's way cooler than James Bond, bro. It's funny because I read a lot of books these last couple weeks, and I know I wasn't on last week, but I picked up a lot of the all new Marvel Now books.
You made up for it.
I read Invincible Iron Man. I read all the Avengers books. Like I read like everything I can get my hands on from the all new Marvel Now. The Amazing Spider-Man. I read them all, guys, and something happened to me as I was reading these books. I would read one issue and go, okay. Then I'd read a second issue or something and be like, okay. And then I picked up another book, and that's when it started dawning to me. I'm like, for the first time in the illustrious, my career of reading comics, something really weird happened to me reading Marvel Now. And that's Marvel no longer cares about me. I have grown out of Marvel Comics. It's kind of a weird thing to, like, go through, guys.
This is legitimately I hope you have a real thing to say, because this is a legitimately interesting topic.
No, I'm being absolutely true. I feel like I'm no longer the demographic for Marvel Comics. And it hurts. It hurts. I was reading Amazing Spider-Man, and I love Spider-Man. And as I was reading, I was like, this isn't written for me anymore. It's not. And that's fine. That's totally fine, because I understand Marvel needs to grow and they need to get new readers. But everything is catered towards if you only know the concept of Spider-Man, but not the actual history.
What do you think it's missing? Like, why does it feel that way?
I feel like Marvel realizes they got this thing with Disney, and they got a good thing going with all these movies, and they're making lots of money because of the movies, and they got to appeal to that audience who, you know, have never really picked up a book before and only know these characters from what they see on the screen or cartoons. And so they take the essential of the character, right? Like the core mythos. But I feel like history is no longer important. And I love continuity and I love history. And I was reading these books for the first time. I'm reading Avengers and I'm like, oh my God, this is garbage. Like, this is really, really bad. And I've gone out and I've bashed comics before only because I love it so much and I want to see them good. But I don't feel like I need to bash Marvel anymore because they're no longer looking at me as someone who wants to read their books.
I think we had this conversation or some topic similar when Spencer was on the show a lot more. I always kind of felt like there was always that angle to comic books in a little bit, but before they were just targeting a different demographic.
Right, and it could have been. And the fact is, I could have been blind to because of my love of comics, where I still held on, right? Like, no, it's still cool. Like, yeah, it's not as good as it used to be, but you know, it's still cool because it's comics, right?
Yeah.
And I'm reading these Marvel books, especially all these Marvel now. And I'm not saying that I'm completely done. I have to give it a couple more issues, but as I was reading them, I found myself bored. And it's very rare that I get bored reading a comic. And in fact, it was the because there's so many Avengers books now, I can't keep track. It was the new Avengers. I got like 10 pages into it and I said, I'm not going to read this anymore. I'm over it. I do not like what I'm reading. This is like garbage. This is a garbage book. Like, I am ripped off right now for paying $3.99 or $4.99 for this book. And I never feel that way from a comic. Yeah, I get mad and I get upset, but man, I don't feel betrayed in any way. And I've come to that understanding where, like, hey, I'm not the dude that they're looking for anymore. And there might be some other rad Marvel books, and I'm still interested in seeing the new Daredevil, and I want to see X-Men, and I want to see how these all play out. But man, the thing that hurts the most was reading Amazing Spider-Man. And it's got Dan Slott, who's the guy who's been writing Spider-Man for like the last 10 years. And I figure, at least with Amazing Spider-Man, I still got Dan Slott. And I'm reading this contrived bullshit story, and it was just so, like, over, like, I don't want to say over the top, because it was over the top, but Spider-Man, no, it should be. But it was so, like, it held my hand through the whole entire issue. Like, I didn't know who Spider-Man was. I'm like, of course I know who fucking Spider-Man is. But I'm reading this book, and I was getting angry, because I'm like, I feel like they feel like I'm an idiot. And it's maybe just because I'm not the target audience anymore, guys. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do feel like their community or their target audience are idiots. Like, that's the only way to explain this, right?
Absolutely. And they're going for the new readers. And so you got to remember that this all new Marvel now, it's catered towards this new number one issues. It's about getting new fans and new readers in, right?
Sure.
But in a way, whenever you do a relaunch, and DC is guilty of this too, whenever you do a relaunch of anything, you run the risk of alienating longtime readers. And I've dealt with it before. But this is the first time truly in my heart where I'm like, man, have I outgrown comics or has comics outgrown me? It's the weirdest thing. And I had this talk with my wife, like a serious conversation, because she knows how I feel about comics. And I told her just how, like, I was bummed, like kind of depressed. And I know it's super like nerdy and totally dumb to be depressed about comics. But I'm like, wait, this is something I championed for so long. Something I love so much, and I feel maybe it's just I'm having a bad month. Maybe my head's not in the game, but I gotta tell you guys, not impressed.
So Marvel Comics bumming you out, huh?
But here's the thing, maybe it's not comics bumming you out, it's Marvel, because at the end of the day, like the stuff that I read from Image this month, like renewed my faith on why I still read comics and why I have like 200 books on my pull list every month, right? Which is probably, I'm going to tell you guys, my pull is going to be cut drastically in the next 2 to 3 months. Like, we're talking below 100 books, which is, I know, seems still like a lot. I know there's still a lot of books, but you guys know how many books I read a month.
Your comic book store is going to be bummed.
Not be putting their kids through college anymore. But I got to tell you guys, Image Comics, renew my faith. This Paper Girls number one. Look, we're all big fans of Brian K. Vaughan in this show. And yeah, all the stuff that Brian K. Vaughan's done, everything from Saga to Why the Last Man to Pride of Baghdad. There's so many great books that Brian K. Vaughan's done. And Paper Girls number one came out. And it's cool, man. You got Cliff Chang, who was the artist on Wonder Woman during the Wonder Woman relaunch. He's got this cool art aesthetic. So Paper Girls is this rad book about like these girls who are newspaper like bicycle delivery girls. Right.
How closely does it resemble the hit NES classic Paperboy?
Not at all, Evan. Not at all. But I did enjoy playing that game when I was a youngster. But Paper Girls is cool because you got these girls like in this like male dominated like type of profession.
Sure.
And they have and they deal with the shit for it, and it takes place on like Halloween 1988, and they're kind of like rough and tumble, and they're like 13 and 14, and one of them decides she's going to smoke cigarettes because she's cool and she's the bad girl of the group. And that, you know, it touches upon like maybe a couple cliches that you've seen before, like total 80s movies type stuff, a very like Stand By Me kind of vibe.
Okay.
But then it gets all War of the Worlds. There's like this like alien type thing going on in like their small like town. And
it's up to the Paper Girls to save the world, huh?
It's pretty good. For the first issue, it's it basically introduces you to all the characters. It gives you the overall like threat that they're going to deal with, and you kind of get to meet like these cool like girls that are like 13 years old in 1988, delivering newspapers and smoking cigarettes.
Dude, that's badass. I will pick that up tonight.
Dropping F-bombs.
I will not hesitate.
Right? As good as Paper Girls was, like, Paper Girls was amazing. Spoiler alert, my pick of the week. Southern Bastards continues to be a book that really shows what comics can do in terms of storytelling and narrative. And it's been we're 11 issues in now, and I gotta say, man, this could be book of the year for me right now, Southern Bastards.
Yeah, I think that's a book that you and Spencer always talked about that I definitely need to get into and check out.
It's just dirty and dark, and you get all these little vignettes, but they're all part of a over like arcing story arc that's just it punches you in the gut every time you read it. And this latest issue introduces to this new character, this old man, is kind of this religious zealot living in, you know, Craw County, Alabama. And it's pretty nuts. I can't say anything more without spoiling it, but like I really love what Southern Bastards is about and what the work that Jason Aaron and Jason Latour are doing. I like, this is why we read comics. And then on the completely different end of the spectrum, guys, this is completely different. I picked up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 50.
I just watched that movie yesterday. Completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Straight to number 50?
Well, no. I've been reading Ninja Turtles since it relaunched at IDW.
Yeah, I remember you saying it was pretty cool.
Because you had Kevin Eastman, one of the original creators of Ninja Turtles, like was on the book. And it's more of a contemporary take on the Ninja Turtles. It's not so cartoony. It's more in line with the roots of the old black and white comic. But it's all colored, and the art's fantastic. But Ninja Turtles number 50, guys. Holy shit, this was a great book. You have the Turtles finally confronting Shredder for like the first real time, and they go to battle, and it's a heartbreaking book. It really is. The ending is one of those things like, where do you go from here? And it was a fun read. You have Bebop and Rocksteady. You have Donatello coming back from the dead. All nice. Types of cool stuff, man. It was just a fun book. Like, I had more fun reading Ninja Turtles number 50 than I did Iron Man number 1.
Well, that's crazy.
Or Amazing Spider-Man. And like, I picked up the Ninja Turtles part of the nostalgic value because, you know, as a kid, I loved Ninja Turtles, and I remember reading the black and white comics when I was younger. So I've been reading this IDW series, and it's pretty good.
Look, man, I love Ninja Turtles more than those other two properties that you mentioned. I mean, even more than Spider-Man, more than Iron Man. I mean, just grew up watching the cartoons. I even like dabbled some with the black and white comics that you're mentioning. Because I guess my brother had some, and I was able to like sneak in his room and read them at some point because they were kind of violent, right?
Oh yeah,
some of them. I remember them being like, I was like, whoa,
yeah,
this is like completely different than the cartoon.
They're violent and over the top, and so I'm reading these. I'm having, and even you know, Batman, the Jim Gordon stuff, I am really digging on right now, and I actually love it. And like, I'm not really too pissed off at DC right now because I like the different direction they're going, where you have a Superman that's completely depowered. You have a Batman that's not Bruce Wayne. You have a Hal Jordan that's no longer part of the Green Lantern Corps. Like, you have all these different, like, changes happening, but they're done in a way where they're trying to advance the character. But the stuff I'm reading at Marvel, like, I picked up Uncanny Avengers, for example. and it's just such a pile of shit. Like, the only book I can, like, safely recommend on our show to our listeners was the new Doctor Strange book. And even then, it's still, and it's written by Jason Aaron, who's awesome writer. And here he is, you know, his indie stuff is amazing. And his Marvel stuff's always been, for me, hit or miss. But his Doctor Strange was good, but still, there's a lot of hand-holding. And I realize you have to do that to an extent for a first issue, but it's so rad that there's so many different alternatives out there from the big two. And, you know, a couple, well, it's probably maybe about a month and a half ago, Divinity was a book that I picked up from Valiant Comics. Awesome. The stuff that Dark Horse is doing right now with Hellboy, Hellboy in Hell, with Mike Mignola, the creator of Hellboy, coming back and writing and doing art for Hellboy. It's just so good. And the comics are so good right now. I just wish Marvel would pay attention to fans like me, guys.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some people would say, like, fans like you have been the target for a long, long time. Maybe this opens the doors up to other fans and hopefully, I don't know, like, at some point, like, a good story has to transcend demographic, right? Is that true? Do you think that's possible?
Yes.
Is that, like, a much bigger concept that...
Yes, a good story will transcend demographics and get people to read it.
At what point are they allowed to dump all this history and start something fresh? Because, like, we talk about that in every other aspect of like, entertaining people. Like, if be it technology or whatever, it's like at some point you have to give up the old stuff because it's only holding you back.
But here's the thing is, right? So they're putting the comics more in line with these movies, right? These movies have a shelf life, right? 10 years from now, we're going to look back at these Marvel movies and go, yeah, they're okay. Yeah, they were good. Yeah, some were great, right? But you look back at the comics at the time, you're going to go, that wasn't so good. And It comes in waves, right? And right now, I feel we're with the big two. Some of the books maybe aren't as good as they should be. But stories should always triumph over trying to... And I get that it's a business and they got to make money. DC's been very lucky to have Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo on that Batman book. And that's a book that's taken a lot of risks. And they've done a lot of crazy things. But it's always been about storytelling first with Scott Snyder. And Batman's always... People are always going to read Batman books, right? And Batman will always be in the top 20. But Batman consistently has been DC's number one selling book because the story is great. Now, fans would leave that book. There are other Batman books out there, right? There's Detective Comics. Detective Comics doesn't even sell close of what, you know, the core Batman book sells. And it's not because of the core book. It's just that you have a great creative team that's telling great stories. Even if some of them, in my opinion, are hit or miss, people love them. Like the Death in the Family stuff, people loved. The Zero Year, I mean, people went crazy for that. I was probably harsher on Zero Year than anybody else I know. But I think if you're telling good stories, people will come. And I think that should always, you know, for me, being, you know, a comic aficionado, should always trump, you know, numbers.
But that's where we get into the problems with, like, the big two specifically. And other publishers do this too, I'm sure, are guilty of it. But, like, catering to those demographics and doing dumb stuff to kind of, like, be edgy or be evocative or try to, like, target these specific types of people to get, you know, people all riled up to, like, buy these different books, right? Like, even the story arcs that happen and stuff, I feel like they're very calculated, very articulated measures to, I don't know, just like, cause a stink and make it the biggest thing ever. It's always the biggest thing ever. It's the biggest crossover or the biggest relaunch, or you're never gonna believe it, you know. And it's just like keep pulling these people back in, right?
What Marvel's been doing the past 10 years is event after event after event. Like Secret Wars isn't even done yet, and they sent out postcards to select comic book companies with an image of the Sam Wilson Captain America and Iron Man fighting each other with the Roman numerals in the same font as Civil War 2. Like, they're already... I mean, Secret Wars isn't even over, and they're already throwing out the idea that, hey, we're going to have Civil War 2. It's like, wait, what? How can you have a Civil War? What the fuck is going on? Marvel, shut the fuck up for 5 fucking minutes! Give us a cohesive universe that makes fucking sense before you all throw it down the tubes again to relaunch it every 6 fucking months. We've had so many relaunches. In the last 3 years, Avengers has been relaunched, like, 5 times. We've talked about this on the show. It's relaunch after relaunch after relaunch. And there will come a point where people just won't take it anymore.
Is Wolverine still dead?
Wolverine's still dead! My X-Men are fucking destroyed! Perlmutter wants to kill the X-Men. I'm done talking about comics. Anyways, Image Comics, thank you for keeping my, keeping my dream alive of a world with beautiful comics and wonderful stories. And that's all I have to say about that, Evan. And I just want to put out there on my that last time I'm going to say anything about this. Ori and the Blind Forest truly is a game of the year, guys. Just want to throw that out there.
I'm not going to let you get cheered up yet, because I think we're going to need just a little bit of your anger, and we don't have to talk about this long. But a story that came up today is just indicative of some of the stuff I was hinting at earlier. Two panels at the South by Southwest conference have been canceled due to violent threats. And the two panels in question were basically about online harassment and as well as the current political tones in the gaming and entertainment industries. So nobody really knows where these threats came from, but one of the speakers, Omar, was actually Catherine Cross, who was in that Games Crit panel that we went to at IndieCade. Mm-hmm. She was on one of the panels that actually was canceled by South by Southwest. It's so hard to tell what's going on out there, but that's it's surely not okay for people, like whoever you are out there, just to see some other organization like organizing this thing to be constructive and then it gets like violent threats to shut it down. I don't know who wins or who loses in this situation. Like everybody loses, right?
Yeah, it's just stupid bullshit on the internet.
Yeah. All right. I just thought we should bring it up because it happened today and it's real shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things, right? Where like, if I talk about it, I will get angry. And I don't want to be angry.
Get angry, man.
You know, the thing is, I hate when anybody silences other people, whether you believe in what they're saying or not. Like everybody has a voice. I think I've said on the show before, I hate skinheads.
Okay.
I hate
which
them.
Kind? Because there's two, right?
I hate, peaceful skins are cool, right? Those are supposed to be the skinheads we like.
I think it's...
I should say this. I hate Nazis, Evan.
Yeah, there you go.
I hate the skinhead movement. I hate white supremacists, right? I hate the Ku Klux Klan. I hate them with a passion. They make my blood boil, right? All the hatred that comes out of their mouth.
Uh-huh.
But yet, they should have their rallies. Why, Evan? Because this is America, dude. And last time I checked, even if we don't agree with what you're saying, you still have a voice, and you should be allowed to say that. I know it's terrible saying that, Evan. Believe me, trust me. I want these guys all shut the fuck up. I wish I could punch them all in the mouth.
Uh-huh.
But if I had the right to say whatever I want to say, people should have the right to say what they want to say. But it should be done in a way where no one has to be fearful for their lives. No one should ever back down because of... They're worried about backlash. You see what I'm saying, Evan? Maybe this is the peaceful part of me where I'm like, we may agree to disagree, but I understand you have a point of view. Now, I don't see it that way, but I understand where you're coming from. Or even if I don't understand where you're coming from, that's still your opinion. And you're allowed to have that opinion, even though it's totally against what I believe in, right?
Right, yeah.
Like my God is a flying pizza in space. And he's a radical, awesome god that's all about, like, pizza, and it kind of looks like Cthulhu, but it's kind of like pizza tendrils or like pasta, right? That's my idea of God.
Okay.
Now, someone can be like, dude, Ryan, you're completely wrong. God is this, like, white dude with a beard, and, like, he's all holy, and he, like, hates you because you sin every day. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. But my God, pizza Cthulhu, pizza Cthulhu. That's my definition of God. It's like we all have different opinions, right? But here's the thing: is like anytime I hear that someone gets silenced, especially when there seems like to be a group that's just trying to engage people in conversation just to bring up these issues,
yeah,
only to be silenced and like cut down and fearful. That just makes me mad, man. That makes my heart hurt.
There's no doubt that the last year, like the political tensions in the games industry and just like the amount of just dribble and nonsense that's been just going across all types of places like Reddit and Twitter and anywhere that there is somebody, I guess, with something to prove, like it's just been a nightmare for anybody with a difference in opinion
But that's the thing about these social media sites. It gives cowards bullies a stage on which they can spew their hatred. These assholes, and I've said this before on the show, and I think you disagree with me, Evan. I think these guys are a bunch of coward little fucking assholes that hide behind their fucking keyboards, but you get them out front in public, these little bastards wouldn't do shit. They're all fucking talk. And I think we need to stand up to these fucking guys. I'm being serious.
Sure.
Come at me, bro.
I think that a majority of them are as you describe, but it only takes one person who's slightly unhinged to do something real terrible,
right?
As we've experienced in history, right?
Absolutely. But that,
and you got to plan for that contingency.
But that shouldn't silence people into doing nothing.
It shouldn't. No, I don't think it should either.
And the thing is, the brave people that have gone out there in the past, when you think of, I don't know how much further I want to go with this.
No, I don't think you should go much
but,
further.
But there are people that in the past that have stood up and they did what they felt was the right thing, even though it wasn't the popular thing at the time. And these are people that moved mountains and shaked people's core and beliefs into making people change for the better. You know, you can't go that long ago without thinking of all the different types of things that were happening just, you know, up to 10, 15 years ago if you were homosexual in this country. And the type of remarks that were made and legislation that was against you where you had no real rights if you were in a committed relationship with a person, right? And look at how far we've come. But it's because brave people stood up to those who were saying these things like, no, you can't do that.
Sure.
Like, for people to cancel things because these trolls on the internet, to me, it's just, the trolls won. And I hate when bad people win. See, Evan, now you got me all pissed off. I don't want a podcast anymore.
I'm, you know, frustrated and confused as well, because there's also another angle to this where, I mean, we are in the situation, the three of us, that we don't necessarily have to fear for our lives for saying things, right? Like, nobody, if I disagree with some of these people on Twitter, nobody says a thing. Like, I don't get harassed. I don't get thousands and thousands of tweets. I don't get doxxed. I don't get, like, nothing really bad happens to me. I don't have to worry about what I say, right? And I feel it's probably similar for the both of you. So, you know, in some regards, like, we kind of also have to consider the people who might actually have to worry about this sort of thing. They might actually have to worry about if somebody gets.
And I feel for those folks, man.
Yeah.
No one should ever be doxxed because they're talking about their belief on something. Nobody should ever be assaulted or bullied because they feel differently than somebody else. I hate the Gamergate movement, but I'm not sitting there trolling these guys on the internet or doxing them. I disagree with them. I don't. That's why I don't like talking about their hatred. I don't like bringing it up because it gives them an audience.
For sure. We got some lightning news we can run through. You want to do lightning news?
You need something that's going to be a little bit more cheerful for the show, Evan, because we just talked about comic books breaking hearts and trolls destroying dreams.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? It's bad enough that the fucking Mets are in the World Series this year, okay? This has not been a great couple weeks.
Unfortunately, our best of news, it comes in the comfort of corporate corporate comfort, I guess. The new Xbox One dashboard and backwards compatibility is coming November 12th.
Suck it, Sony. Booyah! Right? Hey, how about you rent games you already own? Fuck you, Sony!
It's so crazy to me that this is a thing. Like, if they had this at launch, it would be pandemonium. It would have been the craziest of things. I don't know how long it took them to kind of work out all the kinks and get this all figured out.
I think it's just license
Omar, you've experienced. Sorry, go ahead.
I think it's all just licensing deals that they were working through to get this all back in the going again.
Well, it's not all entirely there, right? Well, I guess so, a little bit, but they're still, they've kind of left that element up in the air, right? They still have just now kind of finally come around and polished and have gotten it consumer ready, like the actual technical aspects of the backwards compatibility, right? They finally probably worked out most of the bugs and all that. There's still an issue of licensing, right? Because every game, every publisher, kind of it's in their court whether or not they decide if they allow their game to be backwards compatible or not.
Right.
Yeah. So there is that. That is exciting. There's rad. There's a lot of, I have tons of 360 games, digital and physical, that I would love to, you know, check out, see how they're doing. Omar, you and I never finished Iron Brigade. It would be cool to go back and do that.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
Use a sweet Xbox One controller to do it.
Xbox. I'm sure that. I wonder if that game will come out on just regular all Xbox One. Because
that's a good question.
I think Double Fine owns it now. I think they got it back.
Nice.
But in that same vein, didn't Sony just put out a thing like, hey, we're thinking about doing PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 classics?
Yeah, they did. So that's also exciting because there's a lot of in-game like PlayStation 2 stuff I didn't get to. But and then again, at the same time, I feel like I still need to plug my PS3 back in. There's games that I just have not played. Okami has an HD version. Never played Okami. Shadow of the Colossus, played it.
Whoa, you never played Okami?
Never played Okami, never played Shadow of the Colossus.
What in the fuck is going on with this episode?
Odin Sphere, Persona games.
Omar, you played Okami?
Yeah, on never Wii, played it. Right? On Wii.
The original Okami came out on PlayStation 2. I waited for like 2 years for that game to come out. Didn't have a PlayStation 2 when it came out. Got a PlayStation 2.
Didn't it come out on Wii, though? Because I remember it was waggling the controller because of the paintbrush.
There was a Wii version.
There was a Wii version.
Omar, you played Shadow of the Colossus, right?
No. I played Eco, but not Shadow of the Colossus.
You're about to make Ryan really mad.
Gee, how the fuck could you guys be stoked on Last Guardian? You guys are just drinking the Kool-Aid.
I don't care about Last Guardian, to be honest. I'm not that stoked about
you
it.
You liar!
I think it's going to be good.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's going to be okay.
Evan's more of a Shenmue kind of guy.
Shenmue.
You said it right this time.
I say it right anytime I say it, Evan, so don't worry about it.
It's Shenmue. Not true. Arkham Knight is coming back to the PC.
Who cares?
Two days.
Who cares?
Arkham Knight is coming back.
Take that, PC Master Race.
I only say that because it's a crazy thing that happened where that game was so broken they had to pull it.
Yeah.
And then now it's finally coming back.
It's months. Who cares? Already played it, beat it, already forgotten. It's in the bargain bin already, dog.
Who cares?
Who cares? Give us some good stuff, Evan.
There's some other junk about Apple TV handling games differently, but I did not read that junk. What do you mean? I will check it out later.
You didn't? You don't remember from their keynote thing like 6 months ago?
They got
a bunch of games up on stage. So the new Apple TV has an app store now, so you can
and a new controller.
And the controller is different. It's got a touchscreen and it's got Wii it's got Wii internals or whatever. Like you can waggle it.
Wii Turnal.
So
Wii Turnals.
It's like and the those all those iOS controller things work on it.
Yes.
And there's games and this is the kicker is that developers are allowed to state in their game that it is required to have a controller. So they can sell things on the App Store. I think I'm reading that right or read that right. So you can say
yes, but
that you need to have a controller, an external controller, to play this game.
But yes, as a caveat, they also must allow you to play the game with the other controller, I believe. I believe that is the thing. They are allowed to say you must play this game with a controller, but they also must make... I believe this is correct. They also must make...
Those are two contradictory musts.
No. Because they can still say it, but they do have to provide the support for the other thing. I think it could be crazy.
Yeah, but I ordered an Apple TV today. They just went on sale today. I ordered one. I think it's going to be cool. I want to see what the because the App Store on iOS and stuff is a big deal. Obviously, it's a huge market.
We never talked about any of the iOS stuff, the new Apple stuff. And as somebody who likes to make art and does not want to spend $2,000 on a Cintiq. And as someone who reads a lot on the internet, people are saying that new iPad is like as capable as that thing, if not more lagless.
Wow.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Wow.
But I don't know if that's like Apple fanboy hype, which is just like it's completely out in left field because not a lot of people have those.
Stuff, man, it's really hard to read through that stuff. Those things are expensive. So it's not.
How many people can like accurately say that? Like, how many people looked at the specs?
I mean, this could be skewed because obviously Apple and Pixar have a relationship and they're partly the same company. But they took those things to Pixar, gave them to all the lead artists there, and say, "Hey, use this thing. What do you think?" And it was all positive stuff coming out of there. That could be marketing, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, one of the articles I read was from a Pixar artist. So I was like, oh, she must know what she's talking about. She works at Pixar.
You would think that the Pixar people would know what they're talking about and have, like, specific examples of why this thing is good and why it's not. But, again, it's hard to tell what is spin and what is not in that sense.
Yeah. One more thing I did want to mention real quick. I'll pull in Omar De Armas here. Omar, we were admiring at IndieCade. Somebody had one of those Alienware Alphas.
Yeah.
Which is like their consolized version of a PC, like a home set box top, box set top version, like a console that is a PC that you would just like keep by your TV potentially, or, you know, on your desk if you prefer. But it looks like a console and it runs Windows. And that is an appealing idea because it is cheaper than a regular like PC, but then you also have access to all of those crazy Steam games, all those PC games that don't come out on console. And they're getting ready to announce an Alien Steamware version of that that runs SteamOS. And I just wanted us to kind of weigh in on that.
I'd rather have the Windows one.
I'd rather not have one. I'd rather have a real console.
You wouldn't take that, right? Like if it was basically a thing that plays PC games, just like a console would. You just fire it up, you pick the game you want.
I already have three consoles. I'm gold.
Yeah, but there's so many things that come out on PC that don't come out on either Mac or console.
Yeah, but they're not that good then.
They are good. There's lots of really
what,
cool
name
things.
One PC game that's better than
a
console game.
I'm not going to go down this crazy
See,
rabbit hole.
You and you can take your PC no, masteries argument, Omar, and get out of town.
And then all those things that you think like, oh, this is a great PC. Samurai Gun, PC only game. Awesome. Remember when we played it at your house? Super fun. Supposed to come out on PS4. Never did.
Can't be that good. Can't be that good if it's not on console, Omar.
Ori and the Blind Forest is on PC, and it updates sooner than it does on Xbox.
It's still on a console, though, Evan.
So you get the... Yeah, but you get the best version on the PC.
No, the best version's on the console.
No, it's not.
Or I can play it on my couch.
The best version is the one that the developers update and make the newest, because they say, oh, the old version was broken, and we fixed it in the new version.
Sorry.
Here you go,
not
kids.
Today.
Oh, wait, PC. This process for updating the
Man.
Xbox.
First off, can I tell you guys something? You guys have really blown it. First off... You guys didn't play
Shadow
Okami.
Colossus.
You didn't play Shadow of the Colossus, and now you're over here trying to tell me about the PC? Get out of town! Both you guys have been fired from this podcast. You're no longer in charge of video games.
I think if you don't acknowledge the amount of crazy awesome games that are on the PC right now, you have not been paying attention.
Give me a good game, and I will go check it out. But there isn't one that's not already on a console, dude.
That is StarCraft. Unbelievably false.
Yeah,
StarCraft. False. StarCraft. Come on,
you're the worst.
StarCraft.
I am blown away right now that in all of the random news that you put through, none of that was the YouTube thing.
Oh yeah, I put that in there specifically for you. There was an article somewhere. Probably on my clipboard.
Probably not in the thing that is our show notes.
YouTube Red, yeah.
So YouTube Red happened. It is a subscription service for YouTubes to see ad-free YouTube, which I guess is cool. I mean, ads on YouTube have always been the least offensive to me than all of the streaming things, because you can totally just skip them. They, like, give you that button to skip ads, which it seems like the way to do it. I mean, you see...
Yeah, but you got
to
wait the 5 seconds.
Yeah, 5 seconds is better than fucking sucks. Hulu with 30 seconds of the exact same ad 10 times while you're watching one thing.
Don't watch Hulu. What are you doing?
Hulu's a great service now.
No, it's a terrible service.
You're a terrible service.
I am a terrible
you guys,
service.
You guys are both terrible service.
But
both suck.
YouTube Red sounds like a really cool idea. It's allowing channels to be part of this new financial thing that's happening at YouTube, where you're getting money on some... There's some kind of secret formula that I wasn't able to find on the internet anywhere of people making money based on subscriptions sold per their channel or something like that. But the weird the weird thing that I read in two articles with zero follow-up on is that if you did not agree to the new monetary strategy on YouTube, regardless of whether or not the person watching was a PlayStation or a YouTube Red subscriber, your content's hidden from the public.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's
if
crazy.
You do not agree to the financial strategy now, you're straight up, you're off YouTube.
That's nuts.
So like,
they've always been pulling all the purse strings, but
yeah,
it's always crazy when that stuff is so service level.
I saw that statement in two articles with zero follow up about it. It was just like a sentence, and then they move on to something else. That sounds crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Say no? It's like the Nintendo program, too. Yeah. I
People
mean, you can opt out of it.
Nintendo and stuff, but that this seems outrageous. If you are making your money outside of the normal YouTube strategy, like you're selling ads on your own or you're doing this and you can't do that and sign up for this other thing at the same time because there's conflicts of whatever, you're fucked. You're off YouTube.
If you're like unlisting your YouTube, I don't know why you do this, but if you're unlisting your YouTube videos and embedding them to your website so that that's where they appear.
Well, I wonder if that will still work because it just said the public links were gone. Isn't that the same thing?
Well,
yeah, that might, I mean,
that might work though.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I never thought about that. But still, the fact that you're just like not part of the public YouTube anymore if you don't agree to this thing is crazy. And it doesn't matter, like say if you don't want, you know, you don't want to be part of this subscription service. You just want to have your regular ass YouTube channel that anybody can watch for whatever whatevers. If you don't agree, you're out. You're done.
Hmm. Hopefully there'll be more follow-up about
I'm sure
that
there'll
in
be
the
ton, but like, yeah. I mean, obviously, YouTube did what they needed to do because they got like PewDiePie and Rooster Teeth and all the people that are making lots of money on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, yep, we're in. We're doing it.
To kind of double down on that.
Yeah. And exclusive content for the subscription service.
I hope that all of those people who are making lots of money at that have good lawyers. Like, I hope that they made that decision and just didn't like bro deal it. Like, oh, I know Stan, he works at YouTube. He's proposing me this contract to sign and he says, we're going to make lots of money. Let's just do it. Like, I would hope that like PewDiePie and like Angry Joe or whoever and Rooster Teeth, like I would hope that all of those people like, he's a YouTube personality.
Yeah, he's pretty angry.
He's angry. I hope that all those people have like accountants and lawyers
that they can go to for advice. I'm sure they have like insurance on their, you know, like when people would insure their vocal cords or something.
Ryan has that.
Got insurance on their thumbs. They can play video games.
I have that.
I have insurance on my voice because it's the thing that keeps this podcast going. Especially
my insurance actually covers that in the case that I lose both of my thumbs, they'll be replaced with robot thumbs in which I can still play video games with.
Yeah, I learned a few things on this. On this week's episode of the Strip Bar, guys.
You did?
I did learn a few things.
That's good.
I learned that you guys probably use Bing instead of Google.
Bing stuff.
That's the kind of guys you two dudes are.
From the guy who used to Yahoo Google.
Used to Yahoo Google.
What the hell are you talking about? It's a goddamn urban legend.
I've heard stories, Ryan.
It's a goddamn myth.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Don't steal my line that I stole. Hey!
Star Wars. Yes, we didn't talk about Star Wars at all.
No, we talked about it last week. It's okay. It's time.
It's time for Picks of the Week, yeah. I want to go first. Paper Girls, number one from Image Comics. I already talked about it. It's good. It's better than anything else Omar and Evan are about to tell you is their Pick of the Week. In fact, you can stop listening now. We know you got lots of podcasts to listen to, but you choose to listen to ours.
My Pick of the Week is Axiom Verge. I finally played it. Omar, you played it a while ago, told me to play it. In honor of IndieCade, and in the case of the event that I got a chance to interview that dude, I wanted to make sure and play his game at least a little bit before I started asking him questions about all the crazy bug monsters that he made with beautiful, beautiful pixel art. That game is cool, and I know that there's a thing where you have to pick either Axiom Verge and Ori in the Blind Forest, or Ori in the Blind Forest. I still am in the Ori camp.
Oh, well,
I must say.
Well, for sure. I mean,
I must say. Yeah. I played like 2 hours of Axiom Verge. It's a cool game. It's very Metroidvania. It has a lot of good kind of like focused design, I want to say, while still making it feel like you're exploring crazy caverns, original Metroid style, which is super, super sweet. And then it's got like crazy alien monsters and like a crazy AI that's talking to you and is minded to you or melded to your mind. I don't know. The game's weird.
It is weird.
And I'm going to keep playing it, but...
what do you think of
that's all I have to say about it. It's not that hard yet. I've gotten through like two bosses. There's just some interesting stuff. The only thing that makes it difficult for me right now is I haven't like unpacked. I moved recently and haven't unpacked my Xbox 360 controller. So I've just been playing with mouse and keyboard.
You're playing it on, isn't it out on PlayStation? You got it on PC?
Yeah, I don't know. I was on my computer and I played it.
You probably binged it, right?
No, nobody bings anything. Bong. Omar, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is all of the rad fucking comic book TV that I've been wanting to talk about for like 3 weeks.
Oh, Ryan, where have you been?
I only missed an episode. Jesus Christ.
It's true.
Yeah, the comic book television has been pretty great, Omar.
Pretty great. The Flash has been fucking fantastic.
Flash is great. Walking Dead is really, really good right now. Walking Dead's great. Walking Dead's the best it's ever been.
Still, that is not saying anything to me. It sounds like a garbage show for garbage
people.
It's
good. I like Walking Dead. It's pretty good.
I think we'll have to do a special, a comic book TV show special.
Shut your mouth. The Shield has been good. I've been watching Shield again.
Oh, see, now Shield is a shitty show for shitty people.
Yeah. Get this. I started watching Gotham again, and that show ended not terrible, and this season has been pretty good.
I keep hearing that Gotham is really good right now. Like, the first season was terrible, they realized it was terrible, and they're like, all right, let's make it good.
So I heard something like the first season was, the reason it was such a roller coaster ride of quality is that halfway through or something, Fox was like, no, you need to do like double the number of episodes. So they just like spit together a bunch of filler, which makes sense to me if you like follow the trajectory of how shitty that show got and how good it was, and then it got shitty again and good. But it ended strong, and this season has been above mediocre television. Like, you know, and you know, mediocre television is what we get.
Yeah, my dad loves it. He gave it a 5 out of 5.
Whoa, Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, he's way into it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
He's like, have you been watching that Gotham?
I would say that it is worth watching the remainder of season one, however far you got into it, to watch season two.
I watched, 7, 8 episodes of Gotham?
You know, I think I did the same thing. I got
bailed out.
Yeah, I got a little bit less than halfway through, I think, the first season. And then I was like, all right, I'm hearing too many things from too many people that I appreciate their opinion of stuff. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to go through. And it's been not terrible. I like it.
Okay. It's just one of those things is like Flash was so good last season, and then you had Gotham, and you're like, whoa, like,
yeah,
Flash is like where it's at. Gotham sucks.
Yeah.
I'm hearing good things about Supergirl.
I'm
hearing good things.
Yeah. I mean,
just aired tonight, right?
Started today. I'm going to watch it when we're done with this, I think. I hope it's good. I hope it's fun, like Flash was.
Right. You know? You have Jessica Jones coming out on Netflix. That's the first trailer came out for that. People were going crazy for it.
What about the Arrow?
Arrow. Yeah. So, well, he goes by Green Arrow now, right?
Green Arrow, but the show is still called Arrow. It is apparent, like, that all of the money that was once put into the Arrow is now strictly spent on the Flash, and they are basically making that show by their bootstraps. You know. It is so sad to watch that show with all these characters that are trying so hard to continue this like gritty, intense show with just zero involvement from the studio, it seems like. They might as well be shooting it in a garage.
We're working on Flash. Get out of town.
They might as well be shooting it in someone's garage on fucking handy cams. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, we're living in the golden age, guys, of comic books on TV, movies. A lot of Batman vs. Superman stuff came out this week. New images. Looks pretty good. Got some more images of the Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of stuff came out.
Jared Leto was talking about his role as the Joker. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he stayed in character the whole time.
Of course he did.
Because he's Jared Leto, guys.
You couldn't refer to him as Jared Leto. Joker.
You could talk to him about 30 Seconds to Mars. Or him being Jordan Catalano on My So-Called Life. You couldn't do it. Could not do it.
Why? What'd he do?
Because he was the Joker the whole time. He would, I even heard a story today where there's a guy on the Suicide Squad that they cast as his like goon, like his right-hand man. And when they would stop like cutting, or like when they would stop like filming for the day, they'd yell, cut. Like, Leto would still be his Joker and would still harass this guy to go do things for him. Like, he'd call him up in the middle of the night and be like, hey, this is the Joker. I need you to go get some roses and spray paint them black. And the guy's like, dude, what the fuck you doing, man? Like, we're not filming!
I gotta get up in the morning. I gotta go work.
We got 4 a.m. call time.
That movie is not gonna be good. No chance.
I think it's gonna be great. But then again, Omar was the guy who was like, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be the worst movie ever that's been made in the history of movies. Remember when Omar said that, Evan?
I feel like there's an opportunity here for me.
Yeah, almost said
It's like a morality wheel.
I'm playing Mass Effect, and
there's a Paragon option and a Vanguard option.
Well, we all know what Omar said about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was the one who said it was going to be awesome, and guess what? I was right. It's Marvel's best movie.
Ryan, I got to give you credit for that, honestly. You, for like 2 months before that movie came out, you were hyping it up, and I was on the fence. I think, Omar, you were on the fence. And,
Omar.
You were right, dude.
Omar, I remember Omar said it was going to be a train wreck of cat shit, was his exact quote.
Does sound like something I would say.
Yeah, I was like, who would say that, Omar?
That's so weird, yeah. That's a weird thing to say.
Does sound familiar.
Yeah, Omar said it. Omar said it.
Maybe, Omar, did you watch Ant-Man eventually?
I think it's an expression they use in Cuba. I think they say it in Cuba. That's where Omar got it from.
Yeah.
Ant-Man. Watch Ant-Man. It's not bad.
Did you watch that yet, Ryan?
Ant-Man?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Until Ryan says it gives me the yes or no, I'm not going to watch that movie.
See? Now, Omar knows I'm the source when it comes to all things comic book movies and TV shows. That's right. Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap up this weird episode 203.
About. That happens sometimes.
There's a weird episode of, like, there's some good stuff, there's some bummer stuff. I mean, probably for me, the biggest bit of, like, bummer news that we talked about this whole entire episode was talking about the Mets being in the World Series.
Yeah, saw that coming. Yeah.
That was probably, like, the worst thing we talked about, probably in the history of podcasts.
Because hatred and online harassment isn't that bad.
It's not nearly as, like, it's not nearly as, like, much of a bummer as hearing Omar talk about the Mets. God.
You're telling me, you guys.
Like, this is probably going to be the one episode that I don't go back and listen to. I'm not going to go back and listen to this.
I'm definitely not listening to this episode.
Here, Omar gloat. Oh, man. Like, it's one of those things, like, if you had to either, like, A, watch your parents have sex, or B, listen to Omar talk about the Mets, what would you rather do?
I'd probably listen to Omar talk about the Mets. I'm not going to lie.
I'd rather watch your parents have sex, Evan.
You probably would rather watch my parents have sex.
Hey, that's going to wrap up episode 203 of the most important podcast of your life, Indestructible Arts. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, you should hit us up at Twitter. That's at PixelsThePanels. That's at PixelsThePanels. Also, feel free to shoot us an email at questions? Is that what it is?
Podcast.
Podcast at Indestructible Arts. Podcast at Indestructible Arts. You can ask Omar.
You son of a bitch.
You can ask him why he's a son of a bitch. Anyways, we know you got lots of podcasts to listen to, but you choose to listen to ours. And that makes you what, Evan Campbell?
Podcasts.
Yes.
Indestructible.
Podcasts. Shut up, Evan. Dumbass. Makes you indestructible, stupid. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And hopefully by the time you listen to us next week, the Mets would have been... I don't know, swept from the World Series. Go Royals.
Is it even possible?
Go Royals! Go Royals!